Now, if you're opposing something, when we come across this, we will call you up at that time, and then you'll get 3 minutes to speak. So let's get started.
Hold on a minute, guys, before we finish this. Make sure.
Yeah, you're not officially 6 o'clock yet. How you are?
How we are?
Good.
How we official? All right, bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, dear Lord, and thank you for this crowd that come out tonight. Dear Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us to make the right choice for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I need approval of the commissioner's minutes of the regular meet of January the 5th.
Motion.
Got a motion?
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Voucher approval?
Motion.
Got a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I ain't got to call out names tonight, ain't but three of us. Any constitutional officers here like to speak? Motion to go in the public hearing.
Motion.
Got a motion?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. All right. Mr. Leon.
Petition by Stephen Reed requesting special exception granted as provided in section 4.3.5, special exception number 4, which is left in Harrison Clay. In accordance with petition date 12/13/2022.
I do have opposition.
Here's a copy of a site plan that's submitted. Yes. You don't have a copy.
And this is the old Falcon Bay property. Is this the old Falcon Bay property?
Is the application complete?
In this application, did you say that everything was complete in submittal, or is there some concerns?
You critique the site plan?
Yes, sir.
If you want to. There's no health department verification yet. There's no communication of public water supply other than verification of the building.
Does the site plan have to be certified by an engineering firm?
There is no engineering submitted on this.
Motion to deny.
We got a motion to deny.
Go ahead. Based on insufficient information, missing engineering on site plan, and
yes. Got a motion by Mr. Wood to deny. Y'all just wanting to do 20 sites?
Yes, sir.
Can't bring any discussion until
right.
We have a
second. Yeah, second for discussion.
Mm-hmm. If you second,
I'll second it.
You can always pull it back.
So we got a second. Now it's in discussion.
Okay.
I mean, we just proved one on 19. Mm-hmm. We just did one for B down here. We proved several of these surrounding the county.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear from the public on it before you go into a denial, because you just did it all based on this. In my recollection, if your paperwork in order, we should table it and allow them time to get all their paperwork in order,
rather
than deny. But the public hadn't even had a chance to speak on what their issues were. You see what I'm saying? That's
right.
My take. I mean,
I know what their issue is. I tell you. You know. But...
When I run, I was going to try to treat everybody the same,
straight
across the board.
Right.
And I mean, and we've done some of these for some other people in the county.
Right.
You know,
my only problem is my only grief.
I mean,
well, my only problem is the location of this thing. I don't mind the park, you know, the RV park. It's just that the amount of people it will affect in between this point and that point there on 349. That's my issue with it, too. And I've talked to a lot of them already.
Map that I provided in front of you, the yellows are the opposition that you all have. The blue parcel.
So we got eight. Signing, Rick. Christian has water management been involved, or
what I was thinking.
Have they looked at this as far as an impact on the wetlands?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They're not in a floodway.
I used to farm that area back here when I was a kid, so I think we grew water management back here one time.
And there is a public supply well there?
I don't know about that. There's some other irrigation wells back there, so
yeah.
Since we're in discussion, I'm going to give you all my...
Is your concern, Daniel, the egress,
you know, people coming and going?
Yes.
From the facility?
Yeah, and that is already a bad intersection.
Being a traffic or creating...
that is already a bad intersection on 349 and Spillers. Or not Spillers, I'm sorry.
Purvis.
I'm going to give you my opinion. We got a man right here that's not here today. I say let's table it. There's got to be four of us. That way, if one denies it, you still got three chances. Now, if two denies it, then we're going to be hung up. Then we're waiting on the governor. So that's my opinion.
Generally, what I want to table, have you reached out to the homeowners that are opposed? Have you talked to them and explained what you plan on doing? A lot of times when y'all come in here, nobody's talked to the other party, and they don't know who's doing what. And then after they talk, a lot of times they okay with the situation once they find out the true facts of the thing. Have y'all reached out to anybody in the area?
Yes, sir, I have. I've spoke with my neighbor directly beside me and across from me and two others on it. The rest of them, you know, y'all are familiar with the area. And I know Miss Krista has some questions.
What y'all want to do? We got a motion and a second. We're in discussion right now.
Well, I'm still sticking to my guns because the right away, we had a church come here. I'm seeing Hatchie, the Casey Coat, on a curve, complaining about the same situation, intersection, all that stuff. My RV park right there was adding on. We approved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you're...
How is that? I mean, I'd say let's table it. see if we can't work some of this out. I'm just pulling your second motion back. And I make a motion to table it.
Second.
I've got a motion. They both pulled the motions back. I've got a motion. Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Wood, table it.
Table
it. All right.
Well, let's give him a buck to see if he can get this list down. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to give you my opinion.
But I am not. Now, just so y'all know, going for more than 20.
Right. I agree with that.
Y'all got quite a bit of land there. You probably want, right now, RVs has got, everywhere you look, they filling up. Y'all going to want to hide. But if 20 is
going to be my limit.
That would be, if we can work it out with all the other homeowners, but I mean, like I said, I'm just trying to be consistent with what we've done with the other people.
Mr. Stevenson, I've lived on that property all my life. That's my home. I had no intention on building like a huge RV park. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to build a huge RV park on that property. I just needed.
Well, I remember you being there when we bought it.
Well, my granddad's
probably. So, let's do this. The next meeting's a morning meeting. It'd be hard for people to take off work to come here if they want to oppose it. So let's make it for the afternoon.
Would y'all be willing to push come to shove to do improvements on that road?
I would, yeah, absolutely.
Would you be willing to pay for half a million to go down on that road?
No, sir, I can't go that far.
You can go that far?
Hey, we just tabled it. We're going to discuss all this at the next meeting. When do y'all want to do this at the next meeting? The morning or the afternoon? What y'all want to do?
The afternoon.
The morning is at 10 o'clock in the morning. All right, well then we'll...
What about any other constituents? I mean, are there more than just three? I see quite a bit out the hallway.
I know we got some that we're going to call in.
She has her hand raised on the screen.
Yeah.
When there is a meeting, is there allowed somebody to actually speak for instead
yeah,
of
post? Yeah, that's, yes, yes.
Normally, before we just do a tabling or all that, everybody gets a chance to speak. But this has been, I guess, a hot topic. So we kind of had some idea what we wanted to try to do, so it was no sense to get into the big discussion tonight. Because all y'all's paperwork ain't in order, and I wasn't even aware this was happening until yesterday, to be honest with you, and I ain't done my due diligence.
All right.
Well, I
see. I remember now, if a $250,000 RV is parked somewhere, that means businesses in this county don't have money. Just saying.
All right, we'll handle that at the next one.
We ain't going to discuss it no more tonight, okay? The next meeting, we're going to do it in the morning. That's the next morning meeting.
10 o'clock?
10 o'clock in the morning. On this. Now, I'm going to ask.
What's the date? Is that February 2nd?
Is it February 2nd?
Yes. That is correct.
All
right.
All right, hang on. Mr. Riggs.
Yes, sir.
All I want you to do is answer my question. How long has that property been in yours and your family's, how long ago had that property?
60 plus years.
60 plus years. Okay. That's all I want to say. This is what I want. I know there's some opposition. Mr. Wright, take this out there. This is for me. I want whoever's opposing this, of Mr. Riggs, put their name, their physical address on there, how many years they've been on their property, and the reason they're opposing it. And that's for me. They've plenty of pages there. All right? And if anybody's on the phone that can hear me, I'm giving you tomorrow that if you oppose this Riggs, you better call in tomorrow and talk to one of my lovely ladies at Mr. Leon's office and let them write it down so I'm going to pick that paper up tomorrow afternoon. If you call in Monday, I ain't worried about that because I'm going to do a little research myself on this before I make a decision on it. And what's your phone number at your office?
498-1236, if y'all can hear me. Call tomorrow now, Monday night, if they're going to throw it in the trash Monday.
Jamie, there's a hand back.
Mr. Story, I'd just like to add that, you know, I'm planning on 55 and over and no older than a 10-year RV.
Okay, we'll talk about it at the next meeting. So if y'all are here for Mr. Riggs' RV site, and if y'all want to see the rest of the meeting, that's fine. If not, that part is over with until the 2nd in the morning, 10 o'clock. This room, be here, and we will discuss it, and I will let every one of y'all talk.
Okay.
All right.
Thank y'all for your time.
Yeah.
There is somebody that has their hand raised online.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. And... Okay. Okay. All right, go ahead and go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Yes, sir, for 742 Northeast 219th Avenue. Yes, I oppose that. I'm directly across the street at 763 Northeast 219th Ave.
Are you opposing Mr. Riggs?
No, this is Mr. Dockery.
Okay, we ain't got there yet. We ain't got that one yet. I'll call you in just a minute, let you... Keep your hand raised on here. We're fixing to get to that one, okay?
Meet them back.
All right. We'll see y'all next meeting in the morning. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Leon. Hang on, Mr. Leon.
Hang on.
Y'all hold it down out there so they can hear here.
We can't hear in here. Very outside.
To permit one recreational vehicle, agricultural zoning district, in accordance with fishing dated 12/20/2022, located on the property described as follows. County parcel number 05-10-13-45-20-00-00-0790-742 Northeast 219th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, District 2.
Of course it is. So you done got one at the post.
Any opposed? 3.
And you got one on the phone at the post.
One on the phone. Anyone here opposed? You would like to speak?
Yeah. Unmute him. Let him speak now. All right, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm directly across the street from 742 Northeast 219th Avenue. I oppose that recreational vehicle being over there. It's been there for 8 months. You're losing tax money on that. I'm
okay.
At 2200. My name is Arthur Watts, 763 Northeast 219th Avenue.
Okay.
And I'm opposing that on it's been there 8 months already at least. It's a residential area. I'm assuming that we're going to put mobile homes or manufactured homes or build homes in this area. Those places you're talking about, they can renew them for $300 a year indefinitely. And it's just bringing the value down in the neighborhood, and I definitely oppose it. The rezoning, you sent the letter out on, or drafted the letter on the 21st, and it wasn't even postmarked till the 6th. The sign wasn't there till 6 days ago on the 13th. I'm wondering if this is already approved, or we still have a chance of opposing it, sir.
That's right. I have not been approved yet. So, all right. Mr. Daniel is sitting here, and he listened to everything you had to say. You got anything else?
No, sir.
All right. We got some other people here would like to speak, okay? All right. I've seen the hand raised.
I'm Mr. Dockery.
Yeah, come on up here where we can all hear you.
Me and my wife, I'm Murphy, North Carolina. I'm trying to retire. I'm a builder for 30 years. We looked all over the area last winter trying to find some property to buy and purchase an RV. Stan Hatchie, only place that we could really find that except for RVs. And we do have an older RV. Most of the campgrounds don't let our RV come in. It's a 96 model.
You said you bought the property
February.
For RV. Did the real estate company tell you that, saying that you could put RV on there? Well, you have to come for this board to put RV on these lots.
Exactly.
They're not being sold as RV lots.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you bought this for an RV when it was, has not even been approved yet.
If you go through some of the local real estate companies here, they say they are RV approved. They would be RV approved. So they told us they would be RV approved. We had to go to the county, which we did in April. So I've been fighting it since April of last year, trying to get it. We ended up having to went to the building department. Ended up hiring Jeff Hardy to help me pull the permits and get the permits. We got the septic approval. We got the well approval to drill a well. And we had to get a certified survey. Mr. Hardy gave me numbers of three people from Dixie County, surveyors. They never would return my call. I let the call for months at a time. Finally, I went back to the building department and called them. And they gave me a list of surveyors. I had to get it done out of town. They come 2 hours out of town to get a survey. So that cost me $1,000 more to get a legal survey. The property was already fenced and had concrete markers in all four corners. And got the legal survey. Then we come back. I was at the last board meeting. They shut down the RV exemption permits until y'all decide what y'all was going to do. I was here at that last week. So finally, they y'all allowed to let it continue. So I went to reapply, paid my $300 for the permit, and I asked, which Mr. Hardy asked, when we had our RV here, we drove the RV down and pulled the car. Them things get 9 miles a gallon. We owned the property. Didn't think it hurt. I was going to check on storing the RV. The storage on the RV, they won't take nothing. Like the guy here is going to do the campground. You know, it's going to be 10 years and newer. Or some storage is going to be like $150 a month. So we asked if they had any problem with the building department, any problem with me leaving the RV on the property. I mean, it's not hooked up. There's no powers to it. It's just the RV sitting there.
Are you planning on building a house?
I just built a brand new house last year in Murphy, North Carolina. So at this point, we want to come down here, and we've been in Florida now for probably a month. But we've been in Daytona. Just come from Daytona today. I've been in Fort Lauderdale. I've got some friends that live in Fort Myers. We was down last year at Sanibel before it got tore up. So I'm glad my wife got to see that. I'm not going to say that I love Dixie County. This week I spent $360 in Old Town grocery store. I bought a generator. I've spent all my money I can in Dixon County. It reminds me of back home. There's flea markets. There's yard sales. You can go fishing. You can buy fish.
Hello.
I love it. And, I mean, I don't have no problem.
You still have your home in North Carolina?
I love my home in North Carolina, too. So, but Dixon County, it reminds me a lot of North Murphy, North Carolina. So, I would build a house here. And if it's what it takes for me to build a tiny home on that, get power, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my property. I'm asking for an RV permit.
So you can build a house?
Maybe later. I'm not going to promise I'm going to build a house now. I'm just building one. It's paid for. I really like to relax and retire. And
so what are you leaning to get power and all that? If you present a set of building plans, you can get power and start your construction, and you can live in your RV while you build it.
Exactly. But I can see this guy's problem and anybody else's problem here. You can drive down down the road and see the RVs and the campers with tarps and tampons and whatever they got tied on. I don't mock them people, you know what I mean?
Well, here's the deal, and a lot of people don't see it, but I see it, Jamie sees it. The campers that we have problems with, in all reality, is not y'all. It's the illegal ones that come in. It's not permitted.
Exactly.
And that's the eyesore that everybody sees, but y'all want to catch 22.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm sad to say that, but that's where we at. And we got to get more stringent on our rules with Leon and they're working on now to try to get some of these derelict campers where they can't just put them in on the properties and set them up. You know, but right now, I had to go to Tallahassee because I had to try to stop one from going on a lot that was falling to pieces.
Well, my RV's got brand new tires on it. It's registered. I got taxes and tag and insurance in the state of North Carolina. It's plated on the back of the RV. So, I'm a taxpayer. I pay taxes on the RV in North Carolina. I mean, that time I say that thing will operate, I'm like, just put Florida tags on these things. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind doing that. I really don't. I do love the property. We searched a lot of times, a long time, and we spent $30,000 there to be happy. And we asked if we could leave the RV there without having to do storage. And so I'm trying to do things the right way. I'm not trying to come here and say, yeah, I'm going
to. Have you talked to any of the neighbors that have
Yeah, one neighbor passed away there. I met one neighbor right across me. He's a truck driver. I've never met him. He's never there. But this guy named Guy, he used to own apparently the whole place in the neighborhood. He sold all these developments. He's an older guy. He had knee surgery now. I have not met him again since he had knee surgery, but his name is Guy.
Mm-hmm. Guy Richardson.
Richardson or Anderson.
Mm-hmm. And the guy down below that always come up every time he passed away with a heart attack in August when we come up here the day.
Are you killing off your position?
Excuse me.
So, where, make me understand where he's at now. Huh? Is he over by Guy Richardson?
Go past her house.
My neighbor.
I'm
on one
edge. He is about two curves past our house if you're going west.
So go on Cooper Road, go around pavement, go not the first road to the left, second road to the left. Are you on the highway?
No, he's on
you're on the first dirt road. Not the first dirt road.
The second dirt road.
And you live right beside the man that passed away, Mr. Leopold?
He lives like 3 hours down on the left before you get there. There's a 10-acre tract somebody owns right beside me that I've never met. And there's another 2.5-3 acre tract right past me. His sister to the guy who lives across the road. He owns like 5 or 6 acres. He's a truck driver. Real nice guy, I heard, but never got to meet him. As far as any neighbors like this, I'm...
Did you have that property when the flood was going on?
February. Last year.
Yeah, this year, February.
Last year. That's before all this stuff started going on. Now I'm paying for it. I was on it nearly a year, and I still ain't got my power. Can't get nothing done. And I'm trying to do it.
You live on the corner?
It's not right on the corner. It's right before you get to the corner on the next turn. You go on up the road, maybe there's a port place up on the right, you know? So it's right before you get to the port place.
Mr. Chairman, it is on the loop of Mr. Guy Richardson.
Okay. Because up and down, Mr. Richardson's head.
Hello? I'd like to speak.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I own the property. This is Marie Watts, and I own the property alongside of this gentleman's property. And I certainly don't want to put a house in if he's going to be allowed to just keep parking his RV and paying $300. I'm going to pay top dollar for my taxes, and he's never around. He says he hasn't met me. Yep, he sure hasn't. But I disagree with that because if you go around that whole block, they just keep putting in RVs, and then next thing you know, you got a pop-up trailer, and then you got another RV, and then it just turns into a big mess of a yard. And I disagree with that.
I have seen his yard.
Yeah,
I have too. I was just there on Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stop her. Sir, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
I've talked to her all week. I'm talking to her. But anyway, this place is not an eyesore by no means. I've been there twice. Looked at
this side, we just approved several.
Huh?
We just approved several on this road over here.
So I have another hand raised also.
All right, let them talk too. All right, you're unmuted.
Yes, hello. So I just wanted to make a point. My name is Warren Barrow.
Warren?
I don't live.
Mr. Warren,
you know,
are you talking about Mr. Riggs or this one here?
No. Well, both of them, but no, I'm addressing the current issue. So with that RV, you know, Mr. Chairman, I'm not in that area, but I just wanted to address the concern of the Watts that all that they're paying is $300, and that's not the case, right? Any RV special exemption also pays property taxes. So the property taxes combined with the $300 special exemption equals almost to what they're paying on their own property taxes. So just wanted to make that comment.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. And I hate to say it, but we're working on where y'all fixing out to pay the assessment garbage, too. So I'm sugarcoated. So that $300 is fixing to be $610 or $630. Because when y'all stay here, y'all's garbage, we have to get rid of it. And y'all, right now, y'all ain't paying for your garbage. So
that should be on the assessment.
That will be on the assessment this year coming up.
No, now.
Now, on the bill you've got now, you'll be paying that this year.
It's due. Please pay.
So, Mr. Barry, I appreciate you calling in on that. Still there?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Now, if you don't know that, might be a good thing.
So, is there anybody else? Nope.
I visited this property. I do not think it's any kind of an eyesore, and I'm going to motion to approve.
We got a motion to approve. Ms. Wood?
Second.
We got a second. Ms. Stevenson? All in favor? Aye. You approved. Aye. Keep it clean.
Yep.
Because
checking you in my district.
Yeah.
I saw that all the time. I'm buying down.
All right. If not, we're going to have Mr. Steve out here to visit you.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Welcome to the next
on Davis's.
It is.
Okay.
I did verify that. I thought I had the parcel number here with me.
And his insurance needs it reclassified.
Okay.
He's inside the Duda. Yeah. I don't know why. And only other than the White Davis master. And so they have to do two applications, changing the future land use.
Cleaning up paperwork is what we're doing for the ones that don't understand it.
Yeah.
Been there as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
never been shut down, so that's what that is right there.
Do we need action on that?
Yeah.
Motion to approve. We got a motion, Mr. Stevens, to approve.
Second,
Mr. Wood, all in favor? Aye.
Application for amending the official planning atlas of the Grand Gulf Reservation, D-2206, application to Royal Ambers and Baines Ambers to amend the official planning atlas. Land development regulations are changing the zoning district from agricultural A5 to industrial I in the property described.
Mr. Lee, I'll have the assignment number being read it in for record. We're still talking about the same parcel.
That parcel ID number is 18-10-13-00-46-47-01-00.
This is all the same.
Same
property.
Same, yes.
Yeah.
We
don't add any to it. This is all the same. Motion to approve.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor. Aye.
And the reason why you see that advertised differently like that right there is when council said it's everybody commented on it. And when they change it to industrial like that, you'll have environmental comments, you'll have everything come back.
Need a motion to go back to the board.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor. Aye.
We have resolution 2023-10-3.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor. Aye.
We have resolution 2023-06-06.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor. Aye.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye. Uh-huh.
Gentlemen, we also have some ordinances. We have two ordinances which go along with that. It's ordinance 2023-01, an ordinance of Dixie County, Florida, amending the future land use plan map of the Dixie County Comprehensive Plan as amended, related to an amendment of 50 acres or less of land pursuant to an application CPA 2206 by the property owner under the amendment procedures established in section 163.316-163.3248 Florida statute as amended, provided for change in future land use classification from agricultural medium density less than or equal to one dwelling per acre to an industrial of certain lands within the unincorporated area of Dixie County, Florida, providing severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, and providing an effective date. And
this is on still fixing.
It's still Mr. and Mrs. Ambrose
motion.
On the date of
Friday. We got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
We have one more, gentlemen. Again, there's some more paperwork issues we need to clear up, and it's on the same.
We're back to the junkyard again?
Yes.
Motion.
Second.
We got a motion and a second.
Okay, that'd be
for all in favor.
2023-02 for the record.
Ah, moving along. Tobacco-free partnership and students.
Well, students didn't show up, but I'll talk to them. My name is Melanie Anderson. I'm the tobacco division specialist for Dix County, which means through the Bureau of Tobacco in Florida, which is business in Florida. I've worked with students about my starting tobacco, my not vaping, quitting, and then I'm trying to support adults who want to last year, our governor signed a bill saying that we could look at ordinances to make our parks tobacco-free and vape-free. In the past, with the Clean Indoor Air Act, we weren't able to do that with the infants. Now our governor's signed it so that we can. We did a park cleanup a couple of parks over the past, and we just did one right behind here, which I know is a big part, but the litter, the fact of the litter was like bigger than a Ziploc freezer bag. We can see and look at a park and not see the litter because we got people doing a great job cleaning up the litter, but kids are going to find the cigarette butts on the ground. They're going to find the, when we did it, we found cigarette butts, tape, skin, I mean, and all the stuff is poison, it's litter. The students were really shocked because, you know, they found stuff at the park and they didn't even know what it was. You know, they're like, what is this? And I'm like, well, that's just a thing really, which is a, you know, the different tracker products. So at this time, I'm, you know, looking at, we possibly passed an ordinance for Dixon County to make our parks, we don't have any beaches, but our parks tracker free, day free, so that students, if the kids can go play at the park and not have somebody put smoke on them. While we were doing the park cleanup back here, there was a man that was doing some volunteer time at the park, bird watcher time, and he was smoking. And my students were like, kind of like, there's a sign here, it says it, but yes, but there's no policy on it. And I've had people ask me for some more no smoking, no vaping time for those parks in the county. And I know that through our grant, through our partnership, we can help purchase some time for the park, but we need a actually an ordinance passed saying that there's safe and smoking at the park, so we can put the ordinance number on the sign and make it a little more official. The Bureau of Florida, the policy wording they gave us, I don't know if y'all got a copy of this. Okay. The council policy, they don't want the see where people are put in the jail because they first look at the park to make lists. The first, but they want to be something like warning. Typically, you know, and then maybe have them clean the park up. And maybe them, then maybe some kind of fine, because they're not obeying, you know, they're disrespecting the kids staying out of the park. When we did the park clean up several times, we put more tobacco litter, cigarette packs, stuff right around the swing set, the jungle gym, and pretty big tables where kids are going to be out of the park. And, again, I got, Amanda here, she's our co-chair for our partnership, and Lola Butler is our chair, and they both Lola Butler have been here today, and she couldn't make it. And we also have SWAT students at the high school. We have SWAT club with some students working at tobacco at the high school and at the middle school, and they'll tell you where they see kids, their peers, and the adults smoking and vaping and stuff, and a lot of them tell me they see it at the park.
If we set this up and get the right ordinance, my question is, if we have our students out there, the teacher out there, you've got a grown man, a grown woman, supposed to know better, and don't, can we contact our sheriff and enforce it?
I'm sure that he would take that. Someone at the sheriff's office would maybe, if they had somebody to air, could send someone out. It's to a point where it's dangerous. You know,
yes.
You don't see
it
going on some people.
Well,
they should be enforcing.
Exactly.
But it really does help. It's been proven that all over, signage helps. And when you see a signage with a ordinance number on there, it's a little more
big
serious.
Bold, yeah.
It's a little more respectful. There's some people that are just going to make out of time. Some things are
well, and then we need to get after them.
We need
to get after them.
Question I got is, what all is this going to be specific to? We've still got a lot of older people that smoke, that ain't going to be disrespectful. They go fishing at the park system and co-op, and they camp and all that. You're going to be causing a hardship on them. I can see in a building where the children are at, in playground areas, but I mean, in all parks, I ain't saying cigarettes ain't bad, but we grew 56,000 pounds of tobacco. I think that my whole arm would be black with tar. So if nicotine was going to kill somebody, I could have been dead a long time ago.
Some
prison,
they actually may not
kill
you, but when you smoke their whole life, they don't have the right life.
I understand that, but we still got people that's 70, 80 to go to these parks, and they're still smoking, and they ain't harming them.
But I don't want to inconvenience them.
Yeah, well, what about
But I mean, I'm talking about like the coastal area.
Yeah, that's
not in a playground.
That's what I was thinking.
But I mean, I'm just trying.
That's what
I'm just asking questions.
That's what I was.
We actually wrote a resolution in 2017 that really already covers a lot of it. But a resolution is just
word.
That. If you have an ordinance, the sheriff can enforce an ordinance just like he can anywhere in the county. We're not asking for people to be arrested. We're not asking for the deputies to arrest a 70-year-old. You're not going to see a 70-year-old smoking in a kid's city park usually. They just don't have enough respect to leave.
That's what the question I was asking. Is this the city park? Is this pertaining to all parks?
County park orders where children are attending. You know what I'm saying?
Basically, the campgrounds and stuff down in. That's where I'm getting up to. Sure.
It ain't going to be a problem, but when you pass the ordinance that says parks, is that going to reciprocate to every park in the county?
It should, because the governor passed along.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
To allow the counties and municipalities to do this, to restrict it in the state of Florida, to prevent our children, who I have two small children, and my child was there at the park that day when we picked up two Ziploc bags full of cigarettes and everything that she made. I mean, if we can stop it now with our children, they can grow up, be better people themselves. You know, we have these 70 and 80-year-olds don't need to be smoking tobacco anyway. You know, I don't know anybody that's I'm just thinking that most.
You grew up on this there?
Yeah, my dad and my mother. Yeah, it's all me. I beg my parents.
I'm a taxpayer.
No. We're just trying to.
There's not a smoker's right. There is a right for people not to have smoke in their space, and it's a right for kids to go play somewhere and not have smoke. The litter is even a bigger problem than just secondhand smoke. I just don't want these kids to grow up and see the social norm of it going, okay, you know what? When I grow up, I'm gonna smoke because that's everybody else does it. We know 99% of people who smoke wish they never started. I mean, that's the basic of it. We want these kids not to get started.
It's a certain boundary. Like, if they leave the park, then
in our county, other than you're talking about,
you can have
a boat ramp is not a park. You know, I'm talking about a park where kids
you're are. Talking about playground area, like right across
the park. I don't have a problem with playgrounds. I'm just trying.
Well, what, I mean, I'm just trying to think, what part of the park kids, you don't want kids to come and enjoy and have a safe.
Well, most of the time, if you're in a camper at Sherv down there, and they're sitting in their
camp
down there, and they got a fire, them kids is not coming around there. They're sitting there, they're smoking.
Yeah.
So you're saying those people now, well, you got people out there that's going to walk by and say, well, I'm calling the dog because he's smoking a cigarette.
No, they won't.
But you do have people that way. Now, I'm sorry.
I enjoy camping and sitting outside for people that I've never smoking. Honestly, it's not fair to me.
Bottom line, we need to put the health and safety of our children first. That's just the way it is. And if in any inclination can help prevent, we're not telling people to stop smoking. We're not telling people do whatever you want to do, but just don't do it.
We're not saying everywhere, but we really do want this where the kids are going to be. If you go through parks, then it's not for kids. Who's it for?
It's not just cigarettes that you find in the parks either.
No, and it's not just vapes and tobacco. Honestly, we're not here. I would never come here and tell people, you know what, you're not allowed to smoke wherever you want to smoke. I'm saying where there's kids at.
The playground areas.
It's hard because when you go to a park, what part of the park is where kids play?
Yeah.
Right there at swing. That's where we found more litter around the swing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the benches where the kids sit, where the kids play. I mean, the basketball.
See, what I'm calling
if you say county park, it's going to be the county park.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the playground.
Yeah.
It's
see,
be the park.
See, that's what I'm trying to get to. We got to word it correctly because if we say playground, there ain't no playground there down there at Sherwood. There ain't no playground down there at the campgrounds.
I'm going to read y'all your own resolution.
I consider that over there playground. I consider there on.
Cena's got
120. Cena's 20. Spiller's got one. That's what I call playgrounds.
Well,
yep, yep. Go ahead.
This is your resolution, 2017, supporting tobacco-free recreational and sports parks for adults and youth in Dixie County. Whereas there is no safe level of tobacco use. All tobacco products are harmful and can cause disease and premature death. Whereas using smokeless tobacco can lead to these addictions. Tobacco users have a 50% higher risk of oral cancer. This is your resolution. It's already in effect here. We're basically asking for an ordinance to support this. That's what we're asking. You all have already done
it. So the
I didn't do it.
So it's got on there the park.
You weren't hearing something?
None of us were.
Mm.
I grew up in the era. We grew 56,000 pounds of tobacco.
Yeah.
We cropped it. I had more tar on me, and we employed every kid in this county. They bought their school clothes. It was,
my whole family was tobacco farmers. My mom did it at a very young age. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you don't want us to take that and don't take
I'm saying that most people are respectful. It's not going to be out there. Those need to be done away with. In the park for the playground equipment, I ain't got no problem with it. But blanket-wide, the whole county.
I just think whole county is the park.
Anything in the county that is a campground, whatever, is considered a park.
Well, the law, and I don't have to look to see if I actually had the statute here with me that the governor passed, but I'm pretty sure that House Bill.
I ain't saying smoking good or bad.
No, no.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of that stuff. Steve right over
there.
The way it's worded,
the
statute authorizes county and municipalities to further restrict smoking within the boundaries of a public beach and public park.
We can't say
playground because it doesn't say playground. The law says public beaches, public parks. That's the two options we have.
Period.
So either we say public beach, public park. We don't get to say boat ramp. We don't get to say playground. We don't get to say, spillers, basically, or anything like that. It's very specific as to what this passed. So if you were asking me to draft one, I'm going to pull your statute, and I'm going to draft it based on what the law says we can do. And that's to protect all of us because we can't go in and change
The most important thing, I think, is there's also an ordinance. What I'm saying is the consequences. They're not going to get arrested. The sheriff's not going to show up and tell people, the worst can happen if you ask them, please don't smoke here with kids. Or there's a policy here, please don't smoke here. The other option might be, could you just not smoke in this park? It's not like it's aggressive. I would never do something aggressive like that. I know people who smoke, and quitting is one of the hardest things you ever have to do. I'm not saying our business is. I know it's hard. I'm just saying that we're talking about kids here.
So basically, you want us to just put up some more signs.
We're trying to prevent it. We know it's never, ever.
They're wanting an ordinance so you have enforcement.
Exactly.
So when you got enforcement, then you're going to get into that because some people are that way that they've been recessed all life, but you give them a little bit and then they go, now, you understand what I don't know how to put it in words, but it becomes a problem. It's going to be, you've already got the ordinance.
I
feel like something like that should go to a public vote.
We have an ordinance on tobacco in school areas, sales within the school area, but that's the only ordinance I found dealing with the tobacco issue. I didn't find one in our parks.
And it's because the governor just signed it.
Yes.
It did come out. And it's our gent black heart almost every time in this. The state of Florida is working on this, and most of them already have some portion of it. They may not have the and not have parks yet.
And I can tell you that Hillsborough, I think it was, Hillsborough County had reached out to me in December. I spoke to them then. I spoke to them again since. They were looking at our tobacco sales near the school, and when we were talking, they did tell me that they were in the process of trying to get an ordinance also for the beaches and parks, and said they'd be very interested in following what we're doing.
Well,
because we were the only one, they said, in the state that had the one with no sales to the thousand feet of the school.
That's because that school has, you don't have a store within
I told them.
That worked out, and it really made sense because we didn't want businesses to close down downtown and start having gas station stuff right by the high school. traffic for one, is what they have too, because that means there's more empty buildings right here in town.
And that was what I explained to them.
Yeah.
I said, you know, we're kind of unique
right.
in our setup. We're
not going back and telling people you got to close your business. It's never that.
Ms. Chana, could you look into this and then see? I know you got a lot on your plate. Maybe
just one or two things.
And, I mean, anything I can provide, I mean,
look into this and see where we can
I mean, that is
do something to have a happy
medium.
We're
not unique in that because the governor did pass this last year, last session. So it is fairly new.
When you're
reaching out to Hillsborough County, or Hillsborough County's reaching out to Dixie County, where they've got a staff of, I think it's four, either five attorneys that's on their county board, and they're reaching out to Chana in Dixie County. It says, hey, we in the front, guys. We the only ones. So they were very interested in how we did that.
We've always had so much support from the chain, from the county commissioner, from the city, from the school board. I mean, it's not, we don't come up and ask for a lot. Honestly, we're not asking for you to make it, you know, outlaw tobacco products in stores. Adults can buy what they want. At this point, the governor signed that you have to be 21 to buy tobacco anyway. So, you know, we're looking at the park being for kids. That park definitely shouldn't have tobacco use there, you know, because kids shouldn't be around it. The health thing we use all the time, as far as, you know, there's nothing healthy about a cigarette for, you know, say, hand smoke or third hand smoke, or just being, you know, a child looking at who they're going to emulate. They're going to emulate coaches and adults that's in their lives. And our cigarette smoking rate at the school level is like 1 or 2% now. But you know what? Like through the roof is vaping. We have so many. Our vaping rate is higher than the state and higher than any other county in the state. And you think about there's middle schoolers getting vaped, and they are vaping at the park. You know, and that we could have passed that any time. That's not even considered a tobacco product where it's supposed to restrict out from cars. We found vape products, and that vape products have, the vape pens have liquid nicotine in it, highly poisonous, or THC and other drugs. And it's a way to make
I think the pens and all the vapes are way more dangerous than cigarettes.
Yep.
Because they take so much more of the smoke inside. Because when you see one exhale, it looks like a choo-choo train going down the road, blowing out that window.
And none of that's regulated. There's no...
But anyway... I'm all for it, but I don't want to cause the inconvenience of some of our older.
Yeah.
We're going to let Chana look into it and see what we can come up with.
I know when the Clean Indoor Air Act passed originally, when it restricted smoking indoors, there was a lot of people who really did get hurt down, but a majority of them would smoke because of that.
Clean air overall.
Clean air overall.
We'll
you
guys can look into it.
And then
for the playground equipment, they ain't got no problem. But the other areas, they're outside. When they exit, it's going up.
Our
it ain't going out.
Our boat ramps in their parks.
Do one now?
They are. The boat
ramp. We call them?
Everything in the county that a boat ramp or whatever is considered a park.
Public area.
Public.
What's public area?
Public
area.
They call it public park.
The resolution does, that you guys have does include, like, certain things, like at ball games or Little League games or wherever it went.
Yep.
It does include that. Recreational areas, what it says. So you can modify your ordinance to include just those areas where kids are going to be on it. If it is included but not limited to all league games, tournaments, competitions, organizations, sponsored events, and all other performances, this policy applies to participants, players, leaders, teachers, coaches, managers, and competition administrators. That's in your current resolution. You can modify
it. Like I ain't got no problem with it. Just the parks, the schools, all that, and some of these county boat ramps and stuff, I don't think it's going to be a problem for the kids, and I don't. And a lot of the old people go there to set fish and...
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And I don't want to call them...
Well, that's what you have, and that's the one thing, because you're not much well like kids.
And they won't be here much longer than we want to worry about. I won't be either.
You're not going nowhere.
every day I pick up paper and somebody that's younger than me is in there, and I'm going like, ooh. He's in better shape than I was.
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Miss Carol.
Her day's a blessing. Make the best of it.
I'm not here to ask you to pass anything.
You here to bring us some money?
Oh, man. Don't have any to give either. I do have some reported information. So for those who don't know, I'm Carol West, President of Dixie Education Foundation. And we have a grant that we've received, which is very rare. We don't usually do this. As you know, if somebody says Dixie Education Foundation in Dixie County, you think what? Scholarship, right? But we do a whole lot more than that. And this is one of the things that we're doing. I think it's the one that's been. We were awarded. We actually were called and asked to apply for it. It's through Bill and Melinda Gates, and it's part of our statewide organization. You know, everyone has a statewide organization. We do too. We belong to the Faith Gates Education Foundation.
Turn that one on in the corner over there.
There we go.
It's called the Bill and Melinda Gates Grant, and we were asked to join it as a rural county. When we reached participate last August and were awarded this grant, at that time there were four rural counties participating. Now, Hardy, Okeechobee, Levy, and Glades County. And they invited us from Suwannee County to join. And the whole purpose, this is our grant team, Mr. Paul is on the team. The whole purpose of the grant is this. We want to do community collaboration. So that's why not only you as leaders, but everybody in the audience can participate in this, okay? What we want to do is build a community collaboration and utilize this money to make to form a partnership to do one basic thing, and that is build a culture. So you know how you change the culture, right? You get the leaders to start talking to the youth, right? You want to change the culture. So what we want to do is to change the culture so that we encourage and facilitate. So what we want to do is encourage them to do what high school beyond high school. So even though sometimes in Dixie County we don't think we live in a global economy, the real root of the deal is we do. We live in a global economy. And the governor is a big proponent, as you know, of career and technical. He's also a big proponent of post-secondary education. So it doesn't matter. We don't want to tell somebody what they're going to do, like Germany, but we want to encourage them to get some training. They must have a skill in order not to struggle for lifetime. But which equates to what? Economic prosperity. Where does your budget coming from? Your citizens, right? Coming from your money, from your citizens. So we're going to encourage them to get some kind of skill so that they can have a career versus having a job for now, okay? then we help them do our part. But it takes everybody. It takes everybody. So I want to share with you a couple little things so we can speed this along and go to the next one. Yeah, we're doing and have started to do. There you go. Next one. It's first of all, we look at the data. Okay, we want to see where the Dixie County stand. Well, this is all public information. You get it right off the Department of Education. Look at this number right here. This is a sad, sad number. It says Dixie County only has 15.5% of the people ages 26 to 64. That have some kind of education beyond high school. The statewide average is 62.7, and the governor wants it to be 60 by the year 2020. Guess what? Three. Year with me. Okay. We got a long way to go. That's the bad news. The good news is we got a long way to go, and we can improve. Right. This is anything though. People think though that means they have to have a bachelor's or they have to have a master's. This is a certification in welding. This is an LPN. This is a CNA. This is somebody that gets a piece of paper that says they completed a certain curriculum and they're being awarded for it. Okay? So we've got to work on this. It takes all of us to do it. You know, we have a great technical school in Perry. We have a great technical college in Live Oak, and we have two the college in Santa Fe, Florida Gateway that we're always partnered with, it offers all kinds of programs. You know what we're finding out when you start talking to you? They don't know. They will use that little box for their phone for everything in the world except for looking up a career or a school or finding out how much it costs or how long it takes. They will not use it for that. And we don't understand what the rationale is. I guess we don't have to understand it. We just have to learn to live with it. So how are we going to reach them? You said some things that we have done so far. And we're open to ideas and suggestions. But we need to think for the public as much as the leadership. We've done some things like that. We've done some things like give parents this little map that shows what has to happen in your senior year and what some of the deadlines are. We shared that. Next one we do, we've gone out to the park. We've gone to Johnny Green Park. We've had a hot dog cookout. We've gone door to door inviting seniors to come, juniors to come to bring their parents. We had 7 students show up one Saturday and not their first parents. We still fed them. We still talked to them. We just cooked hot dogs. The fire department came and grilled hot dogs. The 7 that came really benefited, and they asked great questions. But that's when you got a class of 87, okay, senior class. We also went to Steam Hatching. Our partner, Big Bend Technical College, met us down there. They started talking about the programs they have. They started showing the kids some of the things that go on up there. And, of course, you know, they're real close to Perry, so they have an interest in that. The other part of the grant requires that we're doing what we're doing tonight, and that is to reach out to every city, nonprofit, church group, anybody that will listen that has action with you, and bring you and tell them, look, we care about you. We care about your future. We want to be engaged with you. We want you to start thinking about what you're doing. The mistake we've always made, and it's sheer because lack of volunteers would have been Catherine, I guess, is that we start talking to an 11th and 12th grade. That's way too late. Most education foundations start in the 5th grade. So right now we're working with Ruth Wayne Middle School on 2 different things. One is I'm going to Mr. Rollison's classroom. We're going to play a little bingo game, and it's all based on careers and career exploration. I read some things, and they have to tell me what career that is. Another one is Mr. Rollison had some older kids when he was doing AVID where they got a little cluster, and what they said is, you know, do you like to work with your hands, or do you like computers, or do you like this, or do you like that, to help start guiding them. But this conversation used to happen at home. And sometimes if the parents haven't ever been to school or been to college or had any questions, they don't know what to talk to them about. So basically, maybe the subject is just a boy. So some other things we've done is we've gone to the school on career day. Here's career day. This young lady won $50 cash. I promise you, we left the school that day. They're talking about the donuts and the $50. So we know those things make an impact, okay? What they did is had to come up to our screen there and make a little video of what they learned about career day or what they found out about a career that they might be interested in. So we had 14 kids, students that came and did a little video, and we drew from it, and she won the $50. She was shocked. We've also stayed on campus a lot. We have Christine Smith, who's employed by the foundation, who meets with students. It doesn't matter if they're college-bound, career-bound, just having those conversations about what to do. So if you don't know, here's some information about the high school. Okay. There are 7, there you go, the one with the board, 7 career academies at the high school. Here they are. Animal Science and Services. Most of you probably know that if you're an FFA parent, right? Yeah, Ms. Mitchell. There's health science, long-standing one. Thank goodness for Ms. Jennifer Driver. Business management analysis. That's a brand-new altered course this year that's taught by a CPA that lives in Old Town. She's got 15 years of experience. They're learning all kinds of things. Kyle Felty's even been to their class and taught with them. We have one of the banks lined up going in and sharing them about banking career. Of course, welding is our oldest program with Charlie Driver. Criminal justice is taught by Mr. Schultz, the sheriff's son. He's had 10 years of law enforcement before he taught here. He had his first graduating class this past year, and a boy came to him at scholarship night and said, Mr. Schultz, I just want to say thank you. You're the first man in my life that's ever told me I could amount to anything. And he's off to do a career. He didn't want to be in law enforcement. He wants to be an architect. But he got started. He got somebody to have faith in him. And, of course, we have the aerospace technology and design that Ms. Burks has taught for several years. They're planning a trip down to Tampa to see where they take airline 737 planes and convert them to cargo planes and meet a general at the McDill Air Force Base and work in different careers. I think she said the other day they counted up there's like 370 careers that you can introduce these kids to that they might do under a big aviation umbrella. They do drones, they have advanced computers, and that boy right there standing at a 3D printer, which I'd never seen one in person before. this is where they're building some things with a 3D printer. And then the next one, they grew strawberries. at Ms. Mitchell's class. Some of the things we're doing, a lot of people don't know there's 7 career academies out there and what the students are introduced to. So what can you do? That's the bottom line. What can we as individuals do? What can we as leaders of the community do? You're around youth, but maybe we don't feel prepared to have a conversation with them. And we got some conversation starters. We've got some of these career analysis you can do. But everybody either has a church group, a family reunion, or they run into youth, or you're talking. I was talking to a guy at the grocery store the other day. He said, "I'm 17 and I'm having to, have a job, work part time, but I just really don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "You're the one I need to talk to, right?" clubs, don't run into me or Miss Catherine if you want, to talk to about that. Look at and say, "I'm going to join the military." That's wonderful. We got military people here. We love that. What's your career goals? What do you know? Think about what you're good at. Take the assessment. Take the assessment. But stay informed. Help them to be lifelong learners. And let's raise the bar and quit lowering. And that's all I have to say about it. And I can do really good.
Thank you, Ms. West.
Thank you.
Anybody got any comments?
Questions or comments?
We would like to thank Jody and Bobby for their scholarship. Thank you about
everything. Glad to do it. Besides to say, sometimes we get them back because the kids don't follow through. Yeah.
Sure.
That's right.
And a lot of donors in this room, we thank you for your scholarship.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Gregg, Ms. Bailey.
Got a couple quick things going on. On the EMT expansion project, we did meet with Chief Brown and staff last week and got quite a bit of feedback on that project. We're addressing all that and some of your advice back there with him and stuff we're moving on that project. The library roof. We met out there yesterday to take some samples on that roof and start working on our design there and see what kind of options we'll have as far as repairing that. That's moving along as well. The CDBG application for 95th and 97th, we got a informal approval or award from DEO. DEO let us know that the next thing the parent will get is a formal letter of award, and then following that, we'll start.
Then we can get after it. Good deal.
Mr. Chairman, can I rather tell him, will the chairman receive that, do you know, or will it come to the grant manager for that application?
I do not know. I will reach
out. Both information in there.
Yeah, I will reach out and make sure.
I haven't seen nothing either.
Who will get that?
Thank you.
I know there'd be a bunch of happy people on that when that gets done.
Last thing, we submitted the sign call appropriations request to Dwayne's office for review and approval, as well as the sheriff's office evidence building request. So once they review it, get any comments, we'll make any revisions we can make, and those will be due next week.
Thank you, sir. Locklear and Associates.
Thank you, Chair. The only I was going to follow Mr. Carroll said I actually worked with her this week. We're going to put together a scholarship for engineering, geology, environmental sciences, intermediate. But also, in addition to money, we're going to offer internship opportunities with a few
there you go.
Anybody else have them, something like that. That's very easy to do. Just get hold of Ms. Carroll. Hopefully we'll have some kids to follow in my footsteps.
There you go. Okay.
Other than that, if you have a question for me,
thank you. Miss Cindy.
Hi. I've been home. I was reminded all of you that Lowest County Art and Nature Festival was March 11th. There will be a volunteer meeting on Wednesday, January 25th at 10:30 down there at 6. So things are well underway for this year. In spite of COVID and bad weather last year, it is growing. And among the many hats that Harold West wears, she is also transport, book statements back and forth to us. And from the tech center down there, if we have 120, she'll take them to 24. So that's just another hat. And so she will appreciate that very much. Thank you. And Martha will serve in that command your head for Jesus. And really helps out a lot. So I appreciate moving forward and getting a new group to the library. We have very more weeks to wait. Bring out West and build to the next thing.
We'll get it put on there one of these days. We're working on it.
Yeah, the fact that we have, you know, through the years, those that we have had to dispose of has never had enough at one time to turn in an insurance claim. It's all right. And I'm happy. And I appreciate it. Appreciate the support that you want.
Yes, ma'am. Is that it? Mr. Freeman. Thank you, sir.
I got something for you. When I was in Ohio, I got several calls on an RV that was broke down in the middle of a county road. And it took several days or whatever become of that issue, or where are we at with that?
Went up there to Dwayne's office a couple of more, so she called the sheriff's department, and they'd already sent somebody out there. So I went up there and checked on the RV. Did get moved, but it did not get towed away. It's just over in the power line easement off the side. And it's still sitting there as of yesterday.
It is still in county right away.
It is still in the easement right away on the side of the road.
Well, when they hooked to it, how come it didn't go to an impound yard? Because now it's going to cost the taxpayers more money to send another wrecker out there to get this thing.
But I didn't have a tow when I got there. Everybody was already gone, and it was just sitting on the side of the road. So the sheriff's department is the one that I'm pretty sure that had it moved to there. It ain't not in good shape. It looks like it's in part. It's not.
I mean, something like that. Did it go to the impound yard?
I don't know how that legally works as far as.
Has anybody knows who owns it?
There's not a tag or anything on it. It's just.
Is it a potable unit, though, right?
It was broke down in the middle of the county road.
It's a drivable vehicle, right?
At one time.
But I have a VIN number, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, VIN number. When they went there and hooked to it, when it was sitting in the middle of the county road abandoned, it sure went to an impound.
I agree. The VIN number, the county can still run it based on the VIN to find out who the registered owner is. And at that point, yes, we will have to remove it, but we should be able to.
The sheriff's department went there,
yes,
and it's sitting in the middle of the road, and it's abandoned, and they hooked it with a wrecker, instead of putting it on the right-of-way, it should have went to an impound yard, like the tow yard, or wherever, and then they have to, you know, I can't really tow it. They hold it in their facility. That way, we ain't, as the county ain't got to go back out there and re-hook to it. Then more tax dollars.
Are we certain that the sheriff's department did, in fact, move it? I mean, did we get confirmation of that?
When I talked to them, they said that the vehicle had been moved. They didn't
take it. But I don't think that we've actually touched it yet. It was my understanding we hadn't messed with it yet, that it had been moved out of the right of way.
When I got the call, they had notified the sheriff's department, to my understanding, and the vehicle had been there for 3 days in the middle of the road. 3 days. When I thought that, 3 days.
And I was going to go out there and I was trying to contact Dwayne,
and
tell him, hey, if that thing's in the road, I'm going
to
follow it.
Had to tell him
the way
blood
it was.
It was not a safety hazard at the time.
Exactly. So. All I'm saying is if the sheriff's department did move it, we need to find out how come it didn't go to a yard.
We'll verify.
That's my question. Rather than to the shoulder of the road.
Hutch in here? Jones in here?
I got something for Steve.
Okay, go ahead.
What did you find the other day when you went to 317?
A bunch of tents. And I talked to the people there, and their plan was they were going to bring shit in. And I told them, no, you can't do any of that. I'll just, you'll be getting the letter in the mail. I'll just be cleaned up Thursday.
Are they the homeowners?
They are. They said that they were buying that piece of property. But there ain't a home there. It's tents. I mean, it's just tents.
Well, what can we do about that? I'm trying to do here.
I can't force anybody to get off this property. Now, if it wasn't their property and somebody else owned it, that person could have to be evicted off the property. But the county, we can't forcibly do anything to somebody. We can take them to court eventually after we give them their time that they can get off the property. And then a judge can tell them, but I've got cases out there as old that judges have told them to do things and they ain't done it. So.
And speaking of that, we do have a case that is currently filed on a code enforcement issue. It's new. We may have some hiccups as we go, but we do have a code enforcement case moving forward on an eyesore, and it's been 2-3 years, Steve?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
3 years old. We do have it filed, so y'all may. It did get served, so they're in their 20-day window to respond.
They were on another piece of property. They moved to that piece of property. And they said, well, nobody told us we couldn't. Nobody ever called and complained. You must have hit good on the other piece of property pretty fast. But I explained to them, it was illegal. And
did you give them a citation, Steve? I'm just asking.
Yes, I mailed them one. But I failed to tell the property owner is listed. They say they're buying the property. I don't know if they're the owner.
Exactly.
Now, if you're an owner, they think that they're going to run them off.
Right. So that the board understands, you did issue them a citation. So basically, that is a fine, a bull offense. They should go pay their and get cleaned up, and hopefully, that'll be good.
You're not supposed to camp in a residential neighborhood. If you throw the tent up in the backyard, that's one thing. But just tents to live in all over a piece of property, there's no power. But hopefully, they will comply and just move, and we won't have to do it the rest of the
week. Mr. Latson, is he here?
He's not. He's working on a push-up, and I burned and started out on 55-8.
Okay. Mr. Leon.
I got a couple things for you.
Mercy.
Sir, I did not realize this. It is, how many people was in the offices in, say, just, I'll just pick 2012. How many worked in the building
department? Here's what I do know.
Well, I'm looking out here for the last 15 years, y'all been averaging, say, 550 permits. Y'all up to 1,660. And you have less staff now than you did have 3 years ago. No wonder our phones is blowing up. If you're not getting the due diligence done on time.
So here's my, I was prepared to do a slow month. And I took 2 days off right there between
Christmas and New Year's to work on my stuff. And I come back and I have my best clean before we started our break. It's that full. And so out of curiosity, I went to Congress the other day just to see, you know, because I hadn't brought this. This is the same graph I brought to you before in different times. And here's what it talks about. What's the economy doing? Well,
we booming.
And is the volume of permits coming through our office? Phenomenal. And,
we went from 646 permits, 1,660.
You know, when I got hired on 2018, I'm fixing to be in my 5 years here. And we've done 1,620 permits. And, you know, we've done 1,660 last year. And in this first quarter, we've already done 423. That's not including the desk right there. So, say all that, because when we sat down and budgeted, we put it in the budget to hire and more help, and I won't go ahead and
have I'll make a motion you advertise yesterday.
I won't, I think it's business advertising, we got to put some parameters on there, it might be a difficult position to fill, but,
I'm going to advertise for a new position because I know we decided also in budget time. Mr. Chairman, I'd like, before y'all do move forward that, let's verify that because we utilize some of that budget to secure the guy that you have helping you now as well.
Well, everybody else comes up here with shortfalls and we find money from somewhere. That's the problem right here.
Let's verify that and then let's move forward additional help.
I don't care if you budget it or not. These numbers right here, we got to get you on spell. Huh? I mean, I don't know what that. You tell me how the people can manage that
I'm not
in a timely manner
issue.
And not cause problems issue for the public with the staff with these numbers. It's not possible.
You know, I got a 9-1 hour on the book. I should not be able to, I should be able to take a day or two off.
I don't have to come back and forth until midnight and call back up. That's okay. We got a motion.
Advertise.
To advertise. Get help. In that, would you make it in your motion that let Dwayne and Leon go over their numbers and still advertise, but Dwayne's got to know, that dude's got to know the numbers. They need to go get them to work the numbers out, but we didn't have no Trico in the budget for the road department to go dig lime rock. We went and got a loan so they could go dig lime rock. This man cannot, that office cannot maintain. You look at this number where we're at right now, Jay, 423. In this year, you understand what I'm saying?
We got a
motion. They cannot. They have got.
We got a motion to for it. Leon to. Yeah. We got a motion for Leon to advertise.
Second.
All in favor? Advertise.
I'll
bring
y'all a graph next board meeting as well.
Hey. I agree with what Mr. Stevenson just said. We needed a track code, and that's the biggest signature that I had put on that, and it scared me to death, but hey.
We
had to have it. Mr. Leon needs some help.
I agree with that 100%.
Well, we'll, you know, me and Mr. Dwayne been talking about, sooner or later, we may need some help. So I know Dwayne's working on some stuff right now to maybe help us later on down the road, too. So get with Dwayne. Hey.
Not in opposition at all.
Hey. Advertise. Get you a good person.
I don't know how they're even.
Yeah. All right. I know Mr. Brown ain't here, but he sent a beautiful young lady up here to take his place.
Hey, guys. However. Oh, gosh. Okay. So everybody knows people that like to talk. I'm really nervous tonight. So I'm going to try to see if I can't mean this, but I did. okay.
First, what's your name?
Oh. I have to tell you my name. Lisa. Okay. And, I am here because it's time for us to do our EMS matching grant, the yearly grant that we do. And in order to do that, we have to have a resolution, which I gave you in your lovely little packet, just to go to space for paper that if it states generically that the grant money we get is all that will be used to fund the generators that we're going to put on our transport unit. It doesn't really have what we're getting, and that's because the only thing they're interested in is you verifying at the board that you are not also going to be giving us money so that we're not going to be double dipping for the project that we're doing. The ventilators, I gave you the information sheet on the ventilators that we'll be doing. It will allow us to take three pieces of equipment off of our truck, and this will be just one unit that has the ability to improve for people that are in respiratory distress or people that have COVID that we've had to resuscitate. And this gives them, this does the work of three things at one time. So it improves the quality and the life, the chance of life thing between here and hospital. And then the other thing that I got, however, I think that I don't have to give it to you. Anyway, it's just for, it's also time for us to renew our license for the facility. And I have everything ready to go, so I just submitted the invoice for the request for the to be written. That's it, I'm done.
We need a motion.
On the matching, I mean, yeah, we have the funds in the budget in the department to match.
Just approve it.
Huh?
Just approve it.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Ms. Wood, all in favor. Aye.
Oh, we did. I was just making sure.
While Lisa's here, I would like to publicly thank her for the awesome job she is doing in collections.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And we appreciate it. Yep. And that wasn't that bad, now was it?
It wasn't. No.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Scott.
I don't have anything left for me.
Okay. Ms. Gail, she's not here. Ms. Holly, she's not here. Ms. Angie?
I have a couple of things tonight. It has come to our attention that we have four employees that did not get approved for HSA accounts at Drummond. Dwayne and Paul and I have sat and talked. I have talked with Brad and the group that is doing the flex spending account for those employees who did not take out the medical insurance. They have agreed to allow us to add those four employees to that same account with the $1,000. Is that something we need to vote on?
Yes.
Okay. On those funds they got to provide that doctor visits and all that, they're not just getting.
Well,
on that one time before, they were just getting that money and using it.
So, Mr. Chairman, for clarification on that, Mr. Stevenson, the HSA account right now is set to where they don't have to provide the county any kind of proof. But these four that goes in this FSA group will have to provide us what they spend it on.
So that'll be a total of 18 that's in that flex spending account.
So the other ones don't have to provide.
Not at this time. That was one reason,
It's set up for doctor's visits, medicine, stuff like that. Shouldn't that be paid on? And if they don't use it for that, shouldn't that go back? to help us run this county. They shouldn't be paying our costs with it.
I mean, I'm just saying, I ain't trying to be mean. I mean, if it's set up for medical, it needs to be found medical. It's not. Then come back to the county.
I don't disagree, Mr. Chairman. During budget time, when we was working on that, mm-hmm. we brought it to the board at that time to look at, and if in fact, all the way back to the previous administration, Mr. Alexander, we looked at changing HSA accounts to FSA where it can be more controlled and money unspent would come back into the county's budget and we could roll it over like that. But it was a board decision up and including this year to continue HSA accounts. I will be bringing that back up this year at budget time, hopefully to change to the FSA account to look at it again. But it was a board decision in the past, and it will be your decision again this coming year. Okay. You have a hand on there, Mr. Chairman.
I have a question because we had an employee in our office that didn't qualify. So, and there was nothing that was done for that employee, so why are we doing anything different now for these four employees?
It should be anybody this year that was not eligible for an account.
Well, I'm just asking why
the last 2 years.
Oh, well, yeah.
The last 2 years. Yeah,
I'm just asking
why are we changing from what we've done for the last 2 years and spending that extra $4,000? I mean, they don't qualify, so they...
But they're still eligible for that benefit as a full-time employee.
Well, then why wasn't she eligible for the last 2 years?
So that was brought to our attention when we talked back to, when we talked to our insurance provider, Mr. Brad Hoare. He said, you know, by what the board has decided on, you can't not allow them to have that. So it was an error on our behalf, and we're trying to correct the ones on the board side. Now, if the clerk's office has an employee that they would fall in that same category and they meet those requirements, then they would be eligible. But because it wouldn't be on our radar because that's not a board employee, the clerk.
It's correct this year. Yeah. Okay. 2 years.
Okay.
I worked with the bank on several of them.
And we
have several of them fixed, all but four.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was an incorrect error on our behalf.
That's
your question. Does that answer your question, Ms. Warner?
It answers it. I don't agree with it, but it answers it.
Sure.
In doing this, we also have come to a new understanding of a statute where we have six employees that do not take the health insurance but are not eligible now for this money because they are on Medicare. We just have a new understanding of that statute. Tammy is already aware of it because she's had to deal with the same thing with the school board.
This has come up with the school board before the end of the year, wasn't it, Paul? Do you remember? Our insurance provider did come out, talked to us, pointed it out, showed us our options. The board elected basically to, you know, quit providing the funding, the additional money, because by statute we're not allowed to without facing penalties and fines. So I would recommend, as much as I know it's going to pain y'all, that we not do it. I mean, we're setting ourselves up, and it's got the statute there.
Are you saying if we do it, the county's going to get penalties and fines?
Up to $5,000 per.
You're not on front of me. We got any choice.
Yeah, that's exactly
really
right.
Not. And that's what I'm saying, you know,
that's more than insurance.
It's not going to be something that any of us.
I mean, I ain't no ill will against the people or whatever, but I mean, it's that.
So I feel sure you will hear from six employees.
Because that's going to cut them out of the money they've been getting, because we can't.
They've been doing it in the past.
But you're telling me, you're saying that it's technically where you're saying it's illegal what we're doing.
Yeah, and you've got that statute
I'm sure these
are going to get that call, and that's the reason, you know, I asked Angie to make sure she had a copy for y'all so you could see it, because I want you to be able to, it's
And it's the reason, Angie, because they are eligible for Medicare.
Because they are enrolled in Medicare.
It's applied to what? I heard that.
Helen is eligible for Medicare, but she is
not
enrolled.
She's not enrolled.
She's not enrolled, so she's eligible for the 15-year-old. They'll come open enrollment. If they choose to not re-enroll in Medicare, then they're eligible.
So basically, if they got Medicare, they got insurance, so. In other words, that would be like double dipping.
And that's what the government being is the fact that we would be paying them not to take our insurance and go on the Medicaid system, which costs all taxpayers, you know.
For my clarification, Mr. Chairman, did y'all approve the four employees to go on the FSA account?
We haven't made no motions on nothing yet. Nothing. So, those four employees, it's legal for them to go. They do not have insurance.
They do have insurance and are eligible for the $1,000. For whatever reason, Drummond Bank denied them open account, and that's between them and
If they have their own insurance, what makes them eligible for $1,000?
Oh, they have county insurance.
They got county insurance, but then Drummond
wouldn't allow them to open an account, but they're still eligible for that money.
I'd make them do like I've been doing. Because I ain't got county insurance, but I have to bring you.
They have to put my money when I go on, and it's got to be legit. Yeah, you're on this list too.
Okay, well, and that's.
Yeah, you have to bring the receipt stand just like you did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's got to be some of that stuff.
Period.
I thought was right, and. Miss Angie said, Jamie, this here ain't right. No problem. Good, bad. I'll go gather up some more receipts.
No, it's the receipts are required.
Yeah.
That's not.
Well, I'm hearing the majority of the county is going to have to provide a receipt.
Not for $1,000. Not for that
self-saving
account. Do not.
Well,
how? Flex spending account.
If that's in y'all's policy, I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, I'll be asking this year for us to change that.
Yeah.
We change our HSA to a FSA for everybody group to monitor it, and everybody to be monitored. It should be a cost saver for the board in the years to come.
Because if it's not used at the end of the year,
it goes back exactly. All the board employees, do we need a motion or what we need?
Yeah, I would like board approval to do that.
Motion to approval.
Second.
They'll get it all at the end like I do.
Yeah. And if something wants to flip by, it's monitored, and they would have to be required to pay back whatever
flip through
or whatever.
So,
and that's with anybody that's using this FSA account.
I'll send
information on the six employees.
This is black and white on the
six. Well, I know that, but we got to still have them.
I make a motion to follow the law. So that means you made a motion to stop giving.
Well, I mean, that's what this says.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
Second.
We got a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Here. Thank you. All right. Mr. Dwayne.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. If you'll turn to your manager report, I have quite a few items tonight.
You've got a book.
Yeah. We'll start with action item number one. I would like to request board approval to allow me to apply for a Swanee River Water Management District Rivers Grant at the Garto Springs for a bank stabilization project.
Got a motion.
I'm begging for that.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. So, in the meantime, though, we have been working with Loughran Associates, and we've got the established bank line.
Hang on, time out.
Hold on.
I can't find my paper.
You got too many papers up there.
Well, y'all need to catch up.
You have an extra one.
I have an extra one.
Hey, this one.
You got one?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, I got it now. We got it now.
Sorry about it.
That's okay. That's all right.
On this water management grant, I just want to let you know the county is not going to not fix the issue we have, but it'd just be a Band-Aid at the time. We need to backfill up to that survey line, but we want to put in for an application to hopefully where we can fix, you know, something long term.
Yes, sir.
Keep it from happening. Yes, sir. Just to let you know, we're not going to not
work. And right now, with the water table down, is the time to do it.
Yes, sir. Number two, I need board approval to execute the ship rehab reimbursement for Sherry Rogers in the amount of $24,906.
Motion. Got a second. All in favor?
Aye. Number three, I need board approval to execute the ship down payment assistance for Raymond Brown in the amount of $20,000.
Motion. Got a motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Number four, I would request board approval to execute the notice of award to Anderson Columbia for the Northeast 362nd Avenue and Northeast 364th Avenue, and that's the, what we call Palm Drive, in the amount of $1,399,422.49, pending attorney review and approval.
Motion. Got a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. To also back that up, I need board approval to execute the contract between Anderson Columbia and Dixie County Board of County Commissioners for the Northeast 362nd Avenue and Northeast 364th Avenue road project in the amount of $1,399,422.49, pending the attorney review as well.
Motion. You got a motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Number six, request board approval to execute the renewal of the Dixie County Behavioral Health Transportation Plan for the fiscal years of 2023 to 2026.
Motion.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Thank you. Number seven, I would like board approval to modify the line of credit request and solicit proposals from our local banks or banks in surrounding areas for the county grant projects.
Motion. We got a motion and a second. Stevenson is first and Wood was second.
Okay. And just a little back history on that, you know, we had requested it prior to around Thanksgiving. And the proposals, what we've got back, we reviewed it with finance. We sat down and had a couple conversations on it. And what we're trying to do, Mr. Chairman, is just to ensure that with all of these this year, normally in the county manager's office, we have $3 to $5 million worth of grants that we're working through with the county this year. We've been inundated with grants as of $26 million plus. With what the capital that we have in the general fund, we have to float all these grants because everything we get is reimbursable. Just, for instance, you know, we've been speaking about this now for, gosh, over a year and a half or almost a year now of the $2.7 million that the governor come down and give us the check. Well, we still don't have that agreement, and we still don't even have a dollar off of that. So all that's reimbursable. So these, we're trying to help ensure that the county doesn't get in a bind, you know, on the capital that we have. With these line of credit, so I'm just trying to figure out the best option for us to go there. So I'll get that out and get y'all back that information for us to make some decisions on financially moving forward.
Okay.
Number eight, I need board approval to select an engineering firm for the design and engineering services of the Northeast 82nd Avenue, and what that is the Howe Chairs, locally what we know as the Howe Chairs Road. We now have a executed agreement with FDOT. And at this time, you can move forward with selecting a design firm to begin the design work on that particular road project.
Motion.
Which
one you want?
Florida
Professional Services, please.
Fourth Florida Professional Services for the design of this project.
Yes.
Got a motion for them?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. And I would ask now then to back that up. I need board approval to select an engineering firm for the CEI. Services for Northeast 82nd Avenue from Northeast 592nd Street, the US 19, and that's the widening resurfacing project that I just spoke about.
Motion for Locklear and Associates.
We got a motion for Locklear and Associates.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Thank you. Number 10, I need board approval to advertise for sealed bids for the County Road 351 Canal System West Cross City Conveyance Project Phase 1.
This is under the ARPA grant monies, and this is based off of the Stormwaters Task Force recommendation.
Motion. You got a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
That goes back to what you referred to earlier, like a lot of these projects, we're paying these people, but then we're having to wait for the reimbursement to come back in
before
the county's already put in the bill.
That is correct.
And that's why you're trying to get...
That is correct. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Number 11, I've been approached for another property purchase from an individual, and I request board approval to advertise for sealed bids of the old jail property, which has two parcels associated with it of the land. This is a piece of property. When I was approached, I had actually asked the attorney to look into it as well, and she can chime in, please, at any time. I think we've determined that the board can sell it. Since I've been with the county, the old jail property has been a dump site.
Yep.
Had to send several times crews to lock up the doors. There's been a lot of vandalism on the old jail itself. The property itself gets just trash dumped all the time, and we have to go clean it up at our own expense. And now we've had someone come to me, to our office, and request that the board sell the property. Now, it's y'all's liberty to have discussion about this and to determine
what shape is the building in?
In regards to what?
Well, what I'm getting at,
I mean, that's from experience of working in that building.
Do you think we could utilize that building?
I don't know. The
roof, last time I had teached in there, and it's a long time ago, the roof, you'd have to redo the whole roof.
It's a flat top roof, if I'm remembering
correctly. And I don't know what we could use it for.
This would be one of these, again, I know, and Dwayne probably is going to keep me at the table for this one, but we did talk about on county property anytime we went to sell it. Do we want to do an appraisal? Do we want to just set a minimum? How do we want to proceed if we decide we want to sell it? I reviewed the deed for it. The deed is an old deed. I had to get the clerk's office to help me because it was in one of the way back books. And this was, I reviewed it, I think, before we got this back from the scanning in. But anyway, it goes back to when the county pretty much was established. So there was no
stipulations. I mean that. Would the Historical Society be interested in that?
The whole building, very old.
Huh?
And the deed's over now.
I don't know.
I would say we need to do an appraisal. Me. Because it's almost a block of land
in the city,
or a half a block. Yes, be quite a few houses one could put in there.
I think it needs to have an appraisal, and I think we need to approach the Historical Society also. Being as old as that structure is and that building, it may be something that they will try to restore or something and make.
Yeah.
Fix it, put some history inside of it to go with her. Look at it. I mean, I'm just so they ain't going to have money to fix it up.
And who's going to upkeep? I mean, the maintenance will fall back on the board. It's a great idea. Right now, it's a liability to the Board of County Commissioner. Yeah. And again, I'm not for or against this.
Someone could get hurt in that old building.
This is a process of how y'all requested me when people ask about county properties. I bring it to the board. So put that in a motion, please.
I make a motion. We get appraisals.
Second. You got a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
I'll do that. I'll bring it back to y'all for approval or denial. A couple information items that I have tonight. That's all the action. I want to let the board know and then the public know. We've been working on quotes for the courthouse firearm system installation. We're going to review three different quotes. We've been in conversation with our county's fire inspector. We'll be presenting to y'all very soon for the best route to take to move forward with this project. We know in the past year and a half the board has, you know, set forth efforts to make the modifications. We're working with the Sheriff's Department as far as courthouse security, and this is an upgrade that needs to happen as well. So I'll be coming back to the board for approval and review and approval on that as well.
Okay.
Also want to notify the board. I had been asked by a previous one of the commissioners in one of the meetings about checking on all the airport leases to review to ensure that we're in line with those. Ms. Martha is going through those, and we'll have a report. We'll have a Excel spreadsheet to present to the board of what you have active and what you have available very soon. The last thing is we're continuing to make corrections on all the special assessments on tax bills for the citizens. Like we had spoken about earlier in the meeting, this is the first year that we have enacted that on the RV exceptions, and now people are cleaning up their properties. Hey, I didn't realize that I had an RV special exception. I already have a home here. I want to take that off. So we are making those corrections for the citizens of Dixon County. There's been quite a few of those changes, and we are working on that in the office as well. So I just wanted to make y'all aware that y'all are moving forward with that progress. So.
Good deal.
That's all I have to report, unless y'all have something for me, Mr. Chairman.
I do. I want to start the process through the FDOT or find out how we can go about trying to get a caution light at Spillers at 349 North. Me and Jody share that road. And ever since they put that dollar store there, they put numerous side wrecks right there.
Spillers
and 349. North 389 Street is Spillers. That's where me and Jody butt up.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, while we at it, you talking about Spillers, what about down there past the store down there at 340? Because I know
Purvis is equally bad.
Yeah.
Well, Purvis has got a caution light.
You say Purvis
has got a caution light. Rock Think Not Distribution.
Yep, we've
got a caution light. But
yep. I'll, Mr. Chairman, I'll reach out to...
Well, you get with David to find out, but I mean, 351, you got one at the trade post, he got one. That's another. You got
one up there. Anywhere on 349 North, you can get run over.
Yeah.
So just wherever you want to put one down through there.
I'll reach out to DOT, that is state right away. However, we are over the maintenance of those, but the DOT, believe it or not, they send a grant to the county. It's a reimbursable grant. We pay up front for the maintenance of the traffic signals, and then they reimburse us for that each year. But I will reach out to them and see what the protocol is for having a caution light. I will let the minister reflect that in the past, we had an issue with that, and we reached out to DOT, and the first thing they look at is accident reports. And unfortunately, a misfortune has to happen there for it to merit getting funding to
there.
Do that, you know.
It was a death
for
two there.
We'll pull traffic
accidents. They just heard a semi over 2 weeks ago there at the trade station.
A lot of times there's not reports completed to the fullest in our area on all system roads. However, that is a state road, so I will reach out to them in regards to that. But you do have to do a traffic study.
And in 1980, you had a dome kind of broke down, you walked.
That's right.
It's not, you didn't see anybody.
Don't worry.
I can pull out on the north end, and sometimes it takes me 10 minutes to get on the highway.
Yeah, I
had four stop signs in Old Town.
Commissioner Wood, we'll look into that and get you an answer back.
You good, Mr. Wayne?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Ms. Watson.
Got a couple things I need to run. I ought to get some directions on. We've got an interlocal county and city agreement that we've been working on. We've talked about it. We've brought it forward. We made some corrections on it. There's some verbiage that we asked the city to enter on that agreement. They do not want to enter it. That was basically saying that any pre-existing permits or anything. Well, and the reason I point to Leon is this is some of the stuff that's dealing with flood mitigation.
They want me to sign off on giving their floodplain management. The interagency agreement that they brought is very broad. And I told them, I will take full responsibility under my license for everything that I've permitted, issued, and vetted. For all of their floodplain
stuff. On who?
The city.
The town across the city. And I said, no, I'm not. I can
go right now and show you file violations that we have no control over. So why would we sign up for something?
I agree with you. That's affecting your license.
Yeah.
And, you know,
like, I goes back to something like, change the subject a little bit. We want to go over there about the smoking the kids. The city is its own municipality. We can't say what they can do in the city park right here that we're able to refer to. That has to go to the city, correct?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Exactly right.
I don't know what the heartburn is for the verbiage. I know got a bet on it. And they need to have somebody with a license.
Me personally, I don't want you to sign that. It's going to put you in harm's way or the county.
It's just, wow, I don't want more
energy. That's right. Your plate's full enough right now.
We got enough.
And then one of the instructions to me was to get this interlocal city agreement done. And we've kind of reached an impasse, and that's the reason I brought it back to you. You know, the city don't want to move forward without it being exactly like they want.
Well, it'll be, they'll have, if they have their own building official that's saying that's an important thing, what have you. Well, they'll have to hire somebody, correct?
So,
they either they can come in to what?
Every permitted item inside the city we look at, we've had. And I'm willing to sign off and saying, yeah, everything that I've looked at, everything is permitted, it's everything outside of that. We have no control of it. And even if we saw a violation, which I can go around and point out several, that's a violation. Nothing.
But isn't Horseshoe its own municipality like the city, and don't they have their own building official and a Horseshoe to take care of that?
We provide building official services for them. That's a whole
other. I mean, normally the city has their own people. It doesn't go through the county.
Right.
And they have.
They take their funds, their tax money, they hire their own people.
Yeah, they do their own compliance letter, and they send it over to us. But what I'm talking about is the way the language is you're responsible for everything beyond what we get.
Puts a burden on the board. What I keep getting at is you really hear me. If you're doing all this, is the city giving us any money for you to do that? Stop.
They pay us for the building department.
That's where we can get, we don't need to go to the bank for him, but you just got your bank right there. Okay.
We don't want to agree to it.
And that's
it,
what I'm
saying.
Another what you're telling me is it's so bad that well, it's, if we can't come in agreement, and in my opinion, the city's taking all that tax money. He's providing that. We're paying him out of the county, and
basically we'd be paying
the city.
All their
we're getting the shot, basically.
Yeah,
so I mean, I'm just
okay. Well, I'm gonna put that on the way back burner. Is what I'm. Here from y'all.
Yep,
so,
way back burner.
You know,
stop. Do you need a motion?
No, I don't need a motion.
I make a motion. You start. They start paying you. Don't.
Here's the thing. I'm perfectly fine with saying yes. Everything that we permitted inside the city limits is in compliance with FIP regulations.
Everything before you, though.
And I did. That is the language that we put in.
I have permitted in the last 5 years.
Yep.
Anything outside of a permitted, you know, item, hey, if they look at a piece of property and say, what is this? Oh, we didn't ship them. They don't want that. They want us. And we don't do code enforcement for them. We don't do control over their zoning. We don't have, it makes no sense. Why would you sum up for that?
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, if a lot of stuff gets done in the city that's not permitted, that technically if it was in the county, would have to have a permit.
Thank you for that explanation, Leon.
And the property at the landfill we talked about, that's the landfill. The rock, y'all had asked
about.
Well, my main thing is with the DEP and the, all that stuff, it's we need clarification from them that it can be sold. And the other thing that, me personally, we was looking at buying more land to dig lime rock, because lime rock owned the other parcels that we can utilize.
So that y'all understand, on the DEP, they wanted to review the documents. I think John's going to call into his contact and find he's going to talk to them tomorrow, too. But when I talked to them, they wanted to review the completion report, which I got to them today. John sent to me. We got that to them. It's quite lengthy. So I anticipate they'll get back to us in a couple of days, and I'll have you on an update probably about the next morning meeting on that and possibly.
But, if the county did decide to sell the property or whatever, are the buyer assuming all liability of that lender?
That is what we had said we were going to require. Now, again,
are they going to have bonds and all that kind of stuff? I mean,
that was the question.
I'm speaking tomorrow at 10 o'clock with the head of the Federal Waste Division in Tallahassee, and that's going to be one of my questions. That's not spelled out in the rules, whether or not a private entity that acquired a closed, unpermitted landfill at this point, if the permit has expired, are they required to have bonds or other financial tools? I don't know the answer to that, but that's
on the closures and all that stuff, I know when those sewer, it's quite a bit of money we have to keep an escrow to do that. If the county sold that, how much would, if the county actually benefit as far as freeing up funds or anything of that?
That landfill actually closed in 2009, and so you have two separate closure escrows that you're required to have, or two escrows, one for the closure construction, so once you complete the construction, you utilize the funds that you had in the escrow for the closure. Those are gone. You can utilize, get an extra that the county got to keep it. And then you got a second escrow account for what's called long-term care, groundwater monitoring, mowing, gas alarm, things like that. That period ended four or 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, and no longer had to escrow that. So there is no money, no counting money in escrow anymore on either cost. There's nothing that you can keep it or don't keep it. There's no advantage there.
So we don't have to do any groundwater marking or anything anymore. All them wells have been is gone, abandoned, legal. I know that for a fact. The only thing is if we sold it, if somebody's well next to it got abandoned, whoever bought it, service
bought it.
Yes,
that's exactly that's what's out there, the old bar pits.
That was what I was told, that there was a couple park pits dug there when they were covering the mounds to use the dirt and all there.
If we'd have hit rock then.
Yeah, and they didn't hit it. Now, you know, it's like anything else. It's nothing needed.
Right, so the county's needing another pit. I'm just...
I could go back and look at the log with the sheriff and kind of give you an idea.
No, we got none out here, so...
I just don't know the depth.
Yeah. All them wells out there was not very deep.
Not very deep at all. Like 20, 25 feet in power.
Yeah, 35 at the most.
Yeah.
And all them wells had sand points on them.
That's right.
To put them sand points in the ground, you don't hit rock with sand points because it would crush the sand points.
But you're probably talking 30 plus feet.
Over, exactly. And they were all around it. That answered my question.
There you go.
Game over. Well, we still need to get with the DEP and find out.
We will. Between me and John, we're working on that on two different angles, so we'll have probably two opinions if it goes like most things. and we fix go and see which one we want. Now, hopefully they'll come in, you know, uniformly, but we are working on that. I have a ship lien, actually, that has matured. The people's reached out on the satisfaction. I have reviewed it. That, Chairman, I will ask you to be signing that, as the board is aware, can make a, take a vote on this. This is on Stephanie Halling Harris, Harris Halling. She's now back in Harris. This was a lien that was put out in 2008, I believe it was, April 4th, and for $9,000. It was actually a down payment assistant program that was done back then. It was to mature within 3 years, and of course it would be deferred and forgiven at that point. So from 2008 to now, she has lived on the property. I didn't see or hear that there was any code enforcement violations, which was another condition. But so I believe that we are safe in issuing a satisfaction on this piece of property. If the board would take a vote to approve this satisfaction, and I'll have Chairman Story sign that before we leave today.
Any motion? Motion.
You got a motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Chairman.
You pay it back if it goes south. You sign it.
Chairman.
Okay. Then I have two deeds of conveyance. These are the two properties that y'all agreed to accept the bids on. I think it was last meeting. That was Mr. Ronnie Williams and Mr. Kyle Feltes, where they purchased the property in Mingo Acres and one in Bobo's.
Well, that it's cheated properties that the board advertised for bids.
Yep.
They have come in. They've satisfied all of their obligations there. I do have checks present to the clerk on these properties. Once we sign the deeds, we'll record it and we'll settle up. I have those also for you.
So you need a motion?
We will not need a vote or anything on that because y'all approved that at the last meeting. That was more informational item. I think I shared with y'all during our regular conversation when it came up with Mr. Steed. We did file the first code enforcement case since I've been here, and it is in the civil court system, and we are seeking possible foreclosure on the property. So it has been served. It is out for 20 days to run. Probably about the time our first our morning meeting, so I may have an update on if we've got any answer or whether we're moving forward with the default situation. And that would conclude what I have with y'all.
Okay.
Miss
Hickenbottom.
I just have one thing. The company Co-File that did all of our scanning of our records and all, they reached out to me to let me know that there is some possible money sitting out there that we can apply for. The deadline to apply is the 31st of this month. It's with the Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund. If we apply and are granted, it's over $111,000 that we can use to scan some more records or other things even. But Ms. Jackie, when I talked to her about it, she said that it would have to qualify, we would have to apply through the board side. So we would need permission to do so.
Motion.
We've got a motion. Second. All in favor.
Let me give information on that as well, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Hickenbottom. I got that email as well. I reached out to DSI, the firm that we have hired. It's through the ARPA money, through the ARPA portal. That is correct. The board can reach out till we have to January 31st. I'm just getting all the information to ensure that what we need to do. So Erica with DSI, who helped us through all that first tranche of money and second tranche of money, we'll be requesting that, and then it'll be a board decision on how you want to move forward with the expenditure of that money.
Okay. So are y'all going to apply then?
We have to, yeah. It has to be on the board side through the ARPA portal, through the federal portal that we have.
Do you need the money? Yeah.
Online, or we don't? About the 31st?
Ma'am?
Are you going to be able to deal with that the 31st?
Absolutely.
Okay, good deal.
Do we need to vote on?
I don't think you need to vote on that. Y'all have to determine at some point how you want to utilize the fund.
Is there stipulations on what you can be utilized?
That's what I'm going to find out from DSI. I'll call everybody and let you know. Send you the information via email.
So we didn't need a motion in a second.
Okay.
I'll recount.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
We're good then.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we did give you a copy of the first quarter that's turned around.
Mm-hmm.
We looked over it. We kind of feel like pretty spot on for right now. That we do get some input on the bank for our grant. We feel a little bit worried about that. But all in all,
y'all get it figured out. Y'all got it straightened out so far, so y'all doing a good job. Doing a good job. You're doing a good job, finance.
We ain't bouncing chicks, anyway.
Yeah, we know where everything's going. Thank y'all.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Good.
County Commissioner items. Mr. Wood?
I don't cover mine.
Okay. Mr. Stevenson?
I got a couple.
Okay.
One, I want to let everybody know that they signed the commitments on 340. They're supposed to start somewhere around February and should finish in August. And to my understand, Anderson didn't have no problem with hauling the millers out to Log Landing Road. So that was a good thing. Also, I want to thank CJ and staff. Yesterday, I went for the Senate meeting. I was going up 340. Huge washouts on the bridge. 2 foot wide, about 4 foot deep, two of them, almost in a white line.
Mm.
Within an hour, they had that filled in. So if someone
go out tied the bridge anyway,
especially for trucks like your well truck, if they would have swerved, it would have been a bad deal.
Mm.
So, but make sure you thank them for getting that taken care of.
If I seen them out there yesterday.
And the other thing that I want us to look at on the county side is, I think we ought to have some kind of monitoring on these trucks and stuff so that we know where they're at and how they're moving, or whether they're just sitting idle somewhere.
Like
the GPS
is
available for everything. Now, that way you can keep a track of your vehicle so you know. Plus, it's got a safety deal, too, like the man he got with the tree. If he's off somewhere in that vehicle that moved in 3 hours, somebody needs to go check on the man.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
Plus, it will better have us understanding of where everybody's at and what they're doing.
So you want Dwayne to check in on
check that? Check in to see what it would cost to implement that.
All county vehicles.
Well, we can discuss them. Pretty much, yes. Safety-wise, if Mike hadn't been attacked, a neighbor hadn't have been there.
I get it.
We didn't save him anyway, but still.
Yep.
He had a fighting chance.
Yep.
And the other thing is, I want to thank the God that we're back at the county rock pit in the first district up there, digging rock.
Well,
we can maybe get some out on these roads.
A lot closer.
And I drove around that pit today. There's a lot of rock there, guys.
We just got
to dig. And if that horse keeps falling, there's tons of shot rock
they left. It's out there. We got to get ready to get back to it. But I didn't realize how much rock we still have there. So I think we're good. We can dig out back towards the dump. So I'm not really interested in looking at buying properties for rock pit. We just need to consolidate what we got and better manage the pit that we have.
Well, don't we
do
this?
About
5 acres and defend it?
No, it was donated.
That's
donated, but I mean.
Okay.
Yes. Well, we've already got all everything set up in that pit right there. We've got plenty we can dig right there. It just needs to be. If that waterfall, you know, we can't. If water. You get out there, you can't dig with the water. But if you build a road all the way across there, so when the water comes back, you can still set on it and dig that shot rock. Then you can take out rock and swing it over and set it to the other side and keep moving your road over and walk all the way back across.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm just glad they're back. That's all I can say.
Well, I think we had a good meeting, but I want to apologize for keeping us 2.5 hours. I'm trying to get a little bit quicker, but sometimes it won't take that long. Now, public comments. I got Mr. Stephen McGargle.
Been here since in air conditioning and heat business for in electric business for 32 years. In this county, live in this county, love this county, spend my money in this county as well. And I park up that for Leon. I know he's inundated with work. I know he's lost his health. I know firsthand how hard the health is fine. But I'm still in a business. I still got to run the business. I've had permits. Now, these permits that I've had, 5 permits in particular, submitted to the building department since late September. In all of the permits that I have, and in every other county and city and municipality that I've ever had to pull a permit in, I go in there, fill it out, write a check, leave the permit. I know, you know, certain times with the employment situation that they have up there and, you know, the volume of business that they've increased to, that might not be practical. But waiting since the end of September to put for a generator permit, a couple of generator permits that I'm waiting on, a power pole permit that I'm waiting on, you know, 2 power pole permits that I've been waiting on.
Mr. Chairman, can I interject right there?
Yeah.
Are you filing a complaint against the building department or against Leon Cole?
I'm
his direct supervisor.
Okay.
I haven't heard from this guy
at all.
I would like an opportunity
to
meet with him and see if I can review this before. It's before the board.
Yeah.
He is my direct supervisor employee.
Yep.
If you're talking about the building department
as
a whole,
and issues. I have reached out to the county commissioner because I thought that was the next level. I've tried to reach out to the
No, sir, it's not.
Office.
It's with the county manager's office.
But I haven't got any response from him, and I don't know where else to go. I
tell you what, Mr.
McGarvey.
He reached out to me yesterday. I called him back today, and I told him to be here with me.
Who did?
Me.
I said, you've asked him to be here.
I told him if he come here tonight, he could bring that up, and we would try to find out, get with Leon, and have him opportunity to explain where we at and where we're going.
This could have been solved by simple communication, but I haven't been able to reach him. I went in there and waited 5 hours for him one day. He can't tell the 3 people in front of me to walk by me and tell you I had an emergency. I've called him. I've left messages. I've texted him.
That's what I'm asking, Mr. Chairman. Do y'all want to hear, or do you want me to tell
you
on this, or?
I'd just like to hear from Leon. I'd like to hear from Leon.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, Mr. Leon. After you get through speaking, Mr. McGargle, I want you to get up with Mr. Dwayne, and then Dwayne will get up with us.
Yes,
sir.
I can summarize this real quick. See the picture that you see right here?
Mm-hmm.
This is an RV in this morning. That's the street view for 2013. Currently, right now, it's been switched out and up on barricade. That's a FEMA violation. It was done.
Yep.
contractor filled out an application, listed the wrong address on it, and it got approved. So the power got disconnected to this place right here. Now, I told the contractor that we would never issue a permit on this because this is in direct violation, and we were not going to turn it back on. I spoke to the owner. The owner is angry, and their issues is not mine. It's a FEMA violation. If we could take and build barricades and backfill them and put park model on it, every one of them is wanting to be that way. But no, we wouldn't. I didn't give them permission to turn the power off. I'm not giving them permission to turn it on. That's their fault. The other one, the generator. It's up in the first district. The house is built without a permit. The man come in and tried to talk about it, and he swears that there was a permit issue, but it has the wrong parcel ID number on it. It's going to require time, it's going to require research, and I told him that. I'm not going to just rubber stamp anything that comes through the office.
Yep.
That might be what happened before in the past. That ain't what I do.
Well, why did you issue a gas permit on the same job? And he didn't even have a generator permit, but he's got a gas permit on both of them. It's John Reddick, by the way. He owns 500 acres out here in Pines. He's been paying taxes on for 25 years.
Get up with Dwayne and talk with him. And Dwayne will bring it to us, and then we will get back with you.
But this gentleman said he's going to remove this park model out of Swanee and sell the property. He does not wish to have the power back on, so he will initiate service.
Is that one of the properties?
Yeah, one of the properties. A fine man been paying taxes for years and had a park model on that for 25 years and owned that property. The power pole, he replaced it, the park model unit, replaced it with an identical in kind. It is up in the air like that. It is still mobile. It still has wheels and a tongue on it. Still mobile. The power pole that I replaced, or the breaker box that I replaced, was a result of corrosion and flooding. I didn't upgrade it. I didn't change it. But now he's being held hostage over a power that the power company notified me 2 days ago that they were going to remove the power from this service on this guy's house by Tuesday if he doesn't get a permit approved. And I understand if he has violations, that's one thing. But the man's got food in his refrigerator. He's been living there. You know, it's the weekend house for him.
We didn't issue a permit for the power to be turned off.
So how did the power get cut off? And I know this is something I can work out with.
He put the wrong address on there. He listed the property next door to a house that is being elevated in the area. If you go down and look at it, I don't know what transpired at the site when the lineman was there, but then it was an emergency. Oh, we need this approved. We need this approved. And I told him, we're not approving it. It's in direct violation. That's not the 1993 one right there that you see in the street.
2013.
So there is some truth to that. The homeowner, they own three lots in a row.
I appreciate you, Mr. Leon.
Okay, so there's some truth to that. There's a little bit of an urgent matter that needs
Let
to
me get with you.
Before the power company disconnects this man's power on Tuesday.
Yep. Get up with Mr. Dwayne, and then he'll bring it to us, and then...
Well, it sounds like to me the county didn't issue the power to be cut. If I'm gathering what I'm hearing right,
I don't really,
he said that he never said
that's not a function of the power of the.
Well, somebody had to pull the power off of it.
We said what we do when we apply for a permit. We particularly for a power pole, let's say for example, we coordinate with the power company to pull a meter. We do the work. We get a same day inspection before we reconnect after it's inspected and passed. He's right. There was an
accident. But, I mean, generally, you get a permit, Stephen, before you do your disconnect. I mean, I do electrical work, too. I'm not going to go have somebody's meter pulled if I do not have a permit in hand that I can get it turned back on.
He did have a permit, and he is right about that. The owner owns three lots, and she gave us the address to the wrong lot. That is correct. We corrected that with him. And he has the permit in hand, but would not sign it. So that part of it is correct. There was an error that was made.
Well, I think, I mean, get with Dwayne and let's see if we get this figured out.
I mean, I've been trying to. He just won't hear me. Won't call him back or text me nothing else. I don't know what else to do. I'll call you the second one.
Is anyone else like to speak? Anyone else?
Motion to adjourn.
Got a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I mean, I don't want to pull a major from
that. You're asking Leon to come and help.